So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from planet X, ready to save our planet from Mars.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
Well,
let him speak for himself.
He's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic.
Hey, everybody. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. This is, holy shit, it's episode 90 of the Octavarius Podcast.
Oh, damn.
Hey, without any further ado, let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, everybody, it's B-Wo.
Hey, everybody, it's Gustav.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark.
Hey, everybody, it's Cloud.
Hey, everybody, it's Lauren.
Hey, everybody, it's Dan's.
Hey, everybody, it's Keith.
Hey, everybody, it's LP.
Hey, everybody, it's Nick.
Hey, everybody. Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, damn it. Oh, I forgot that. I forgot that mail. Forgot that damn old mail.
Well, who usually finds it?
I don't know. Should we just go home?
Yeah, let's just go home.
Let's
go
to Kansas.
All right.
Oh, wait, I have it!
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know. I didn't even think I would get it, and I just found it. Hold on. Let me just...
Ouch.
Oh.
He's vomiting.
This one, it just says, from question mark?
Uh-oh.
And it's like the symbol, not... It's not like his name is question mark.
No, maybe it is.
And then it says, who, what, where, why, how? Then there's a giant question mark. And then it says, you put together the clues. Also, ooh, what's up with that?
How confusing.
It gets more and more elaborate.
That is not worth the postage. That was not worth the price of postage.
What a mystery!
What a mystery!
A mystery? Now that sounds like a topic of discussion.
Gustav, you have a show this weekend.
That's right, it's a murder mystery.
Wow.
We did one yesterday, but now we're doing another one.
It's a different one.
Yes, it is a different
one. That's weird, because last week we talked about murders. And this week, we're going to talk about mysteries.
Remember how somber it got sometimes in the podcast last week? That was fun.
It got real.
Talking about murder. It got real, dude.
Yeah.
This is not a song. This is going to be the Scooby-Doo podcast. We'll talk
about Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo does one thing that great. I think like the key part of a mystery, because...
It does one thing great?
Does
Scooby-Doo does
okay.
many things great.
But I think my big thing for mysteries is... I feel like poorly written ones are either so obvious or there's zero chance you as the reader or watcher or whatever can figure it out. And I think that's the biggest crime because the reason mysteries are like part of the biggest crime of the mystery. But the reason they're so much fun is because it's actually like a game. Like you're reading a fun story, but you're also putting together a puzzle.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was talking, I forget who I was speaking about this, but what was the last... film that had like a real twist ending at the end that you
saw. That was
good, or
Prestige.
No? That's just
Prestige.
Like
Twister.
But that was Prestige. That was like 10, 15 years.
I mean,
ago.
I would. You're gonna hate me.
Prestige
for saying
was not 15 years
was
ago.
Like
seven
college.
Years ago.
My answer is kind of obvious. I would say Inception definitely. I mean, I'm just answering your question.
No, that's fine.
So Inception had a ending, and you
now
can... I don't consider that a twist ending, actually.
Yeah, I didn't feel that the ending of Inception had a twist, like Mark said.
Sure, but you could watch that movie a second time trying to figure out if he's in a dream or not. I'm just saying,
it
so that kind
mystery.
Of fits
yeah.
that mystery.
It's a mystery in the sense that you don't really know the
and
answer.
Yeah.
Whereas
sure.
I felt that the Prestige ended with a solution to the mystery,
yes.
as most mystery
both
books
are Christopher Nolan movies.
Mm-hmm. Both yes. Christopher Nolan, both awesome
Whoa.
Movies.
Yeah,
but there's not been like a film like The Sixth Sense in like a long time that had like a real like, oh, well, don't ruin the ending for me, like one of those.
And the worst part is like after The Sixth Sense, M. Night Shyamalan just. That was the thing. I was like, oh, what's the twist then?
Yeah.
And it totally ruined all of the twists.
The rest of his movies, yeah.
Made you think that the entire movie you were watching, there was some grand scheme mystery happening in the film, and then inevitably you'd get terribly disappointed.
Well, Unbreakable was not like that. Unbreakable was awesome.
Well, Unbreakable was good, I'll say that.
I thought Unbreakable was awesome until the epilogue. I didn't like the epilogue that they threw up.
I always hate epilogues.
I thought Unbreakable was awesome, and then they put text on the screen explaining all the things that I like to imagine.
Really? Yeah. I don't hate that.
I'm glad that you didn't hate it.
They ruined their chances for a second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, I just like imagining. Like, I feel like Inception allowed, you know, for the imagination.
Kaboom.
Whereas, you know, in like The Prestige and in The Sixth Sense, it gave you a definite answer to solve all of those mysteries, and Scooby-Doo totally does that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scooby-Doo, they give you all the clues, or the answers to the clues at the end.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't seen Scooby-Doo in a long time, so I can't...
Oh, really?
The last time I saw Scooby-Doo? Well, they have new ones now, actually.
Well, you should watch the old ones.
Well, the old ones are the best.
Mm-hmm. Don't ever watch the movie, or movies... So I remember getting snippets while I boosted, and they were bad.
I watched the movies. They were all right. I like the second one the most because they work in Scrappy-Doo, and spoiler alert, Scrappy-Doo becomes a villain.
What?
It's pretty fun.
Oh, that's right.
Because Scrappy-Doo is such a fucking punk. I just hated Scrappy-Doo in the cartoon. So
he had a chip on his shoulder.
Real chill.
Yeah, that, he always has a chip on his shoulder. He's such a little asshole. And in the Scooby-Doo live-action film, the sequel, whatever it's called, the Scrappy-Doo ends up being like a villain, and it was I thought that was a fun way to deal with it.
You guys, I was gonna say, you guys remember Scooby-Dumb? What a fucking moron!
What? Yeah, was his name Scooby-Dumb?
Scooby-Dumb was very, very, very short-lived. Like a dumbass, pick-ass cousin of Scooby-Dumb.
Yeah, he was all southerny, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Were there any other friends? I know the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Apart from the Harlem Globetrotters.
Batman and Robin were their friends.
Batman and Robin were Scooby-Doo's friends. That's right.
I liked them most when they were kids in a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Hell yeah.
That was a fun show.
Scooby-Doo. Pup named Scooby-Doo.
I just really enjoyed, you know, all the different... folks in the mystery, what were they called? The mystery gang?
Mystery wagon?
No, the mystery machine was the car, was the band.
What was their team?
I don't think they had it. Did they have a team name? Like, we are the
mystery friends.
The Thunder Mists.
So I thought Velma was cool. I like Fred. I like Shaggy.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I thought Shaggy was absolutely useless.
Sometimes he helped. He lucked out a lot.
He lucked out.
Yeah.
His bumbling caused the victory at the end.
Well, you could just as easily have put Mr. Magoo on that team, and he would have done just as good a job.
But he wouldn't connect with them because he's not on the same age
level. Whoa. That's a good point, though. What if you could make an all-star mystery-solving team?
Mr. Magoo would not be on that team.
Mr. Magoo solves nothing.
He causes problems is what he does.
But who would you put on it if you could?
Batman. Duh.
Yeah.
I'd probably be like Batman, Daredevil.
I already got I need one.
Oh, go ahead.
Denzel Washington from Deja Vu.
Dude,
I know that's technically cheating because he can put the electronic thing on his head and just see the crime.
You're assuming that I've seen this film and I have not.
No one should have seen Deja Vu.
We watch Deja Vu sometime. It's really
What was the Nicolas Cage movie with?
Snake Eyes.
No, you can't. The one where he could see the future by like 6 minutes.
National Treasure.
Not 8mm.
Was it Next? It was either Next or No Exit.
Sounds right.
Next.
I'm looking it up.
Next or Click, one of those.
No, not Click. No, that's Adam Sandler.
Click was
whatever. They look really alike.
I cried during
Click.
You
cried during Click.
Yeah.
Girl.
You watched it?
I watched it.
I saw it in the theater.
That's why she was crying, I assume.
I think it's sad.
It is sad.
Okay, I'd go Sherlock Holmes, Velma, because she's the only useful one, really, on that team. Or the most useful one.
I'd argue Fred was the most useful.
Yeah.
Because he drove.
Yeah, well, he could beat a dude out.
Very practical.
Yeah. And Daphne was able to charm folks into things here and there.
True. But Velma always assembled all the clues. And Velma always,
that's true.
Fred and Velma were the most useful out of
I feel like Fred found the clues a lot of the time, but Velma had the wherewithal to put two and two together.
Well, Fred put him in the situations. Like, he was always the one who was like, hey, guys, let's check this out. I mean, like, I'm assuming most times they'd be like, dude, can we just relax for a second? Let's go. Like, I haven't eaten lunch yet.
Car's out of gas again. I'll check out that spooky carnival. Let's go.
But did they figure out who the guy was beforehand? I thought they just would always, now let's see who you really are. And they figured it out when they just captured
it. I think it was more they had to figure out a way to capture the ghoul or the monster or the thief.
Yeah.
And then after that, they would deduce.
They'd be like, oh yeah, of course you're the guy.
Yeah.
Because the reveal was like, and that's why it's not really a ghost. It's really, boom.
Mister. Yeah. At least they got the suspect.
Jenkins!
Yeah, man. I mean,
and I would have gotten away with it too. It wasn't for you fucking assholes.
I never watched Scooby-Doo at all.
I didn't watch
any of the offshoots of them either, or the movies. I just was not interested.
I was never interested.
It looked like it was awful, so I just didn't watch it.
Pretty much awful. Pup Named Scooby-Doo is great, though.
It's
like the Muppet Babies.
I totally disagree. Scooby-Doo is great. I thought Scooby-Doo was a blast. Very fun.
They never referenced the fact that his dog could talk. Like, whose dog? Is that just a buddy of theirs?
Well, there was a myth going around that, like, only Shaggy could hear him talk. But I think they disproved that in a few, like, But there was, like, a thing going around where, like, Shaggy's the only one who actually ever talks to him or hears him talk.
Like, Shaggy could just be crazy.
Yeah, well, Shaggy's just, like, a complete stoner, like an accident. Like,
yeah.
You guys are forgetting about best female detectives when we were growing up.
Cam James.
Mary-Kate and
Ashley.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know there's a third Olsen twin?
What?
Wait,
no.
Another sister.
There's not a third twin ever.
Maybe younger sister.
Ah, you caught me. Good mystery finding. You're on my team.
There's a mystery. We better call the mystery finder.
But that's my story.
Did she do anything?
Like, she was in GQ. They had an article about her.
And they're she's hot now.
I don't know. I didn't read the article. I just saw the picture and then I just flipped to the next picture.
And Nick bought an issue of GQ to mimic the stylings of Leonardo DiCaprio. Now he's got a really good haircut now.
Have you guys seen any of the Mary-Kate Ashley mystery movies? The Case of the Blank?
Mark has.
Is that what those movies are about?
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, they're all mysteries.
They're all mysteries?
I was busy watching Scooby-Doo.
They have a whole song. We're super duper snoopers.
Don't look at me.
Lauren, you gotta back me up on this. and they wear, like, their trench coats and little hats, and they solve these really dumb mysteries, but, like, who stole the parrot from the hotel?
Sister is Elizabeth Olsen. And there's also a Taylor Olsen.
Is this like the Baldwin brother kind of thing, where like we only know like really one of them?
I'm figuring out what they do for their lives, but
probably they're paid out of the billions their older sisters have.
One of them was on Weeds. I think Mary Kate.
Yeah, she was
21.
Yep.
Elizabeth Olsen's 21.
What was
it done recently? She joined the indie film Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Sounds boring.
What the fuck kind of movie is this? I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm going to have to read this.
Not all the Olsen
Twins. Can you explain what this is? How does this go?
Yeah, there's a series of films. Each one is a new mystery in a different location with a different theme. And the Olsen Twins, they run their business out of like an attic.
Wait, so they own a business?
Yeah, people call
them.
Are watching these children.
They didn't need no parents.
Yeah,
they're children.
To start a business, yes.
I don't think you can legally start a business.
It's one real jankety. Like, even in the song, it talks about they don't have any science to their ways.
We don't pay our taxes.
Like, pretty much, it's a real jank. But they go into these places and they solve mysteries while singing. Each one is a musical, I believe.
Oh, wow.
If I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Yeah, they did a lot of singing.
And,
Did any of you guys ever grow up reading detective books? Like, Mark, you mentioned Sherlock Holmes.
I only read Sherlock Holmes recently, and they're awesome.
Oh, cool.
They're so much better than I would have thought. Like, they're just really fun stories to read. I read The Hound of the Baskervilles, which is,
it's supposed to be classic Sherlock.
It's great because actually most of it is... Like, they're all... The thing about Sherlock Holmes, they're all told from the perspective of Watson. who has a huge boner for Sherlock Holmes, like the whole, all of them. But it's great that they're not told by Sherlock Holmes, because Sherlock Holmes just knows everything. Any observations he makes, like, he always knows it.
Uh-huh.
And the reason Hound of the Baskervilles, I think, is so famous is that Sherlock Holmes says, like, oh, I'm really busy with this other case. Why don't you take this one, Watson? And just sends Watson out into, like, this sort of, like, rural manor home to solve this mystery. And he's all by himself. And the whole time he's like, oh, fuck, what am I supposed to do now? I've seen Sherlock do this so many times. And then Holmes comes back at the end and they, like, tag team to bring down the actual criminal.
So he can't get it done himself?
Gets really close, but he just can't because the guy's, like, real dangerous. Oh, so he can't, like... He can't prove it without Holmes.
I want to read the ones where he's fighting his nemesis. What's his
name? Moriarty. Moriarty, yeah.
Why aren't those the famous ones?
I don't know.
Those are just
famous. Hound of the Baskerville is really good, though.
I looked up Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. It's called The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, I believe.
Yeah. That's right.
These are the following titles. Lisa, back. Tell me if you've seen any of these movies. And they all start with The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley, : The Case of the Thorn Mansion, The Case of the Logical Eye Ranch, The Case of the Sea World Adventure.
Oh, I remember that one.
You can't have a case of an adventure.
Well, I haven't even gotten to them yet. The Case of the Mystery Cruise.
Wow.
The Case of the Funhouse Mystery.
This is all just Mary Kate go to awesome places.
Case of the Christmas Caper.
Oh, I remember that.
I feel like The Case of the Funhouse Mystery is... they have two words for what it is.
This one's so far my favorite. The Case of the Shark Encounter.
That one sounds amazing.
Three pirates claim that they are sharks in a tank are singing, and the girls must figure out where the strange sounds are coming
from.
Someone
buy me these for Christmas, please.
1995. The Case of the U.S. Space Camp Mission.
Yeah,
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
I remember that.
The Case of the Hotel Whodunit.
I hope not.
The Case of the Volcano Mystery. Oh, I want to watch these movies.
Volcano Mystery.
How often were they filming?
Well, the other movies...
Well, I'm sure none of these took much production
4
time.
Years.
It looks like they farted out about 4 movies a year.
I know, but they were, like, at the same time shooting so many other things.
They're billionaires. They just didn't stop working.
This was probably during their vacation off of, like, Full House. They would just go on a cruise, and they would go to, you know... And then just film something on a cruise.
Here's a script. Why don't you half learn it and sort of go?
It's all very silly.
You get to go to a fun house for this one.
Because all their major motion pictures that had...
Ladies, you'll get your minute.
All of their theatrical releases were them like going to more expensive places. Like they went to like Greece one time, and then they had the New York Minute. Them just run around New York, mm-hmm. getting to do whatever the fuck they want.
They have the London, the London-y one.
Yeah.
And they have the one that Lauren just mentioned, which is actually the only one I've ever seen. It was on Disney Channel.
What is
it? Double, double toil and
trouble.
Yes,
that's what
it's the Halloween one. It's the only one I've ever seen.
I had to watch one of those Mary-Kate and Ashley, like, help my dad find romance movies when I was in...
How the West was Fun.
I don't know. One of them. One of them. It was, but I had to watch it in school, and it was like 7th or 8th grade. I shouldn't have been made to watch that.
I don't get what you learned from
that. I don't know. There was something... There was a terrible time. She was a bad teacher. That's what it is. Boils down to it. Now that I'm a smarter... person and can look back on it. She was just a dumb lady who was a teacher.
Hey, Keith.
Yeah.
When Brian was talking about mystery books, you made it sound like you knew all about
Encyclopedia
mystery
Brown.
Yeah.
I think I read every single one.
That's awesome.
Although about five books into the series, I stopped reading the first chapter because it was the same chapter. You just had to like skim the first chapter because most of it just describes who he is. Like, they always talk about how he is called Encyclopedia Brown because he seems to be as wise as an encyclopedia. And they just reference other things he's done that are so great, but it's the exact same setup.
It's like the same first chapter for, like, every young adult series. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Animorphs was that way.
Yeah, I remember Animorphs.
It's true.
Goosebumps wasn't like that.
Well, Goosebumps followed different storylines every time. Yeah. Otherwise,
that Encyclopedia Brown, he knew.
He was
a kid detective, and he ran his business out of his garage, his parents' garage, and kids would come with their minor issues, or he would happen to be places like a party or a gathering, sort of like a murder mystery.
How old is he around?
He was 11.
11?
Okay. So it sounds like he's just solving like petty mysteries. Not like there's not
sometimes
murder. There's no murder.
No.
Has he ever seen a dead body?
I don't know. I feel like maybe there was a murder.
He saw a dead body.
I'm sure Encyclopedia Brown didn't see his dead body.
He might have seen a dead body.
I'll Google it right now.
I'm looking it up on a list of them. One of them's the Flaming Beauty Queen. I have to imagine that woman's on fire.
Oh no.
One must assume.
Missing UFO is one.
Finding the UFO is mystery.
But most
enough.
Of them are burgled baseball cards and Amazing Race Car. So those are
They're often like the case of the mystery potatoes.
Could we make like an Encyclopedia Brown movie where he's now like 25, still running his mystery business,
dude,
but he's just super. It's just a really dark world.
Actually, that's a great fake trailer sketch. Don't you steal it. Audience. We'll make it. Give us time.
What about Harriet the Spy? Yes.
She was the Nickelodeon's Encyclopedia Brown. Exactly. But she had a budget to go on an adventure.
Well, she was also...
Go ahead, Mark.
Apparently, the whole book of Harriet the Spy is like a metaphor for being a lesbian.
Really? Is that so?
You this tale.
Why?
Awesome.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Because it's based.
Is that Michelle Trachtenberg?
Yeah.
It's based off of a book that I think is about that. I'm assuming the Disney movie has fewer of those.
Wait one moment. Castelvi is trying to Bing.
Why do you insist on the Bing?
I insist I have to.
There's a drop down menu. You can change that.
I don't have the time or the patience.
He's trying to Bing Harriet the Spy lesbian, but he just wrote. Harriet the Spybian? Question mark.
They cut off my les.
Spybian.
It's a good spy.
It says the book's author, Louise Fitzhughes, was also gay.
Yes.
There we go.
And that, supposedly she had part of Harriet the Spy's purpose. Part of it is to help young girls that are having homosexual feelings. To not feel like so much of an outsider and not feel.
How does that come up in the mysteries?
Sometimes ladies just want to spy on ladies.
No, I don't think it is. I don't remember it ever being heavy-handed.
I just don't know how it came up.
Maybe in your research here on Bing, you can find a quote that is a heavy-handed lesbian quote from Harriet.
They're all in bold right now, so I'm just fine. I don't understand what's happening. I'm skimming it, to be honest.
Well, we'll see where we get.
All I remember is being super bored by Harriet the Spy.
I was going to say, do you think Harriet the Spy or Encyclopedia Brown have ever gotten like police officers fired because they've been bested by the child?
You know, they dealt with it in Harriet the Spy.
Did they?
He didn't get fired, but it was.
Did he get reprimanded by the chief? Did they show that scene?
I don't remember.
Where he threatens to take his gun and his badge.
Simmons, in my office right now. What's this I hear about you losing a case to a child?
He's like back home with his wife. He can't get it up because he's just so ashamed.
That's director's cut.
I'm sorry, honey.
Someone mentioned Cam Jansen earlier.
What?
No one
did that.
Yeah,
I mentioned
Cam
Jansen.
I don't know what that is.
Because I had never heard of Encyclopedia Brown, but I knew Cam Jansen, which is basically the exact same formula with a different child.
How do you spell Cam Jansen?
C-A-M. Like, Encyclopedia Brown knew everything in the encyclopedia. Cam Jansen had a photographic memory.
The first time
she
comes out,
this is a bad literally, like, call. Took pictures.
Yeah, but she would go, click.
With her brain.
She would say the word click and then take a mental picture.
I don't think I should go to camjansen.com. I don't trust it. Fun Quizzes? It's like a quiz book? What is it?
She saw Mysteries.
Okay.
Whenever I see like an exciting moment in a party now, I'm just going to want to say click. So I'll remember.
Cam Jansen.
They do that.
And also, Cam Jansen's also is an ice hockey
player. Yeah, that was the only Cam Jansen that I knew. When you brought it up, I was like, the guy from the Devils? Yeah. He did play for the Devils,
he
right?
Was, he did play for the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
I hope that the children's book outranks him in Bing.
Definitely not in PIMs, whatever that is.
PIMs?
244 of them.
Is that some sort of Bing,
a Bing thing?
What? What does that mean?
This is Wikipedia now.
Oh,
Wikipedia,
okay.
So it's just as plain.
Is there like a magic treehouse mystery series?
Yeah.
What? Like they encounter like ninjas,
and they awesome. It, well, no, it's
girl,
and it's based.
Laura looks so
Morgan Le Fay
right
is like a villain in it, the Arthurian legendary character.
Wait, what?
Morgan Le Fay, like the is the girl from like the Arthur legend, like girl from the Arthur legend. I think she's like his mom. I forgot what she is. She's like Merlin, somehow related to Merlin.
Oh.
In the Arthur legend, but like she is somehow the one, like is in that magic treehouse book, and I feel like she's evil or something. But I remember those.
Is it like the series of books, right?
Like, but they'd like time travel though, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
they're mysteries, and they'd be exploring.
A lot of children's things were mysteries though. Like wasn't Boxcar Children kind of mysteries too?
Yeah, you're right.
Goosebumps was kind of.
Yeah.
And there were the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Hardy Boys.
Nancy, I think maybe
did you ever read Hardy Boys books?
I never did.
Like one or two of them.
I think once.
I got them as gifts, and I don't know. I always thought they were a little lame.
When were they written? Primarily because they're older,
like
right?
60s.
It is.
My dad.
1927 is their first appearance.
What?
1959, the books extensively revised, largely to eliminate racial stereotypes. Wow, man, we just struggled. What you got for me, Hardy Boys? There was a lot of Ghost Riders. That's why it spans so long. If anyone's curious,
I wonder if the Hardy Boys like evil like villain was Moriarty the Mick.
Hardy Boys in the case
Come
of
on.
The evil Micks.
I gotta go to a different window to get this Hardy Boys stereotypes.
Yeah, Bing that shit.
Bing that shit.
Oh, you're
it's
totally
about
gonna
get
accurate bung. Results.
Nice monkey.
Yeah. I'm trying to get bung back really into be the new word for fun.
Yeah, dude, I bung that.
Yeah.
Did you search
they
it?
They were looking
have
to get bung.
Wondering about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I asked that. Yeah, cool.
Were any of you guys big Clue players at all?
Yeah,
I didn't get
Clue.
I
like
was
times.
Presented to me.
It was all about
I had Dungeons and Dragons. Fuck
I didn't
that.
Have the time for
it.
See, I've only played it two or three times. I remember enjoying it.
I had a six-hour
awesome.
Marathon like a year ago of Clue.
Damn!
I
only played
really
like
into it. You
Risk
all
like that.
Strategies
yeah,
and, like,
the strategies are great.
I played
like
Risk
every word
like an
is
adult.
Clue.
Whoa!
You played Risk?
I played so much Risk.
I learned lots of valuable Risk lessons from Mark.
I've never played.
I've played a couple of Risk games with Mark.
Did you play Risk?
Yeah. I don't have 8 hours to invest in
this.
We were playing a D&D night. Let's just do Risk.
Yeah,
yeah, do it. Risk.
D&D
is I'm allowed to play Risk.
The problem
yeah.
with Risk, like, I played Risk with the same people so much that we actually achieved balance of power. We have, like,
that's where I come in.
And all.
You just achieved peace?
Yeah, like
you
several times.
World peace.
Like we'd play so long that there'd be like three people left, you know, and the two people who weren't the strongest would just team up on the strongest. And the only way a game can end then is if someone behaves out of spite. And
you're right.
And so
I was getting locked in Australia.
That's a good place to get locked in.
Dude, that's how you start the
but
Asia
that is
Ooze.
Like I don't get like the game after like hour like. Hour two, then it's just like so exhausting.
It just
Mark
becomes
all of Asia.
The game after hour two, Castelvi, is Mark makes deals.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, he does.
Just like a Jew.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I'm a pretty rough diplomat, and I only occasionally keep my word. That's how you win, man. It's international politics.
Mark tries to win, and he will fuck you. It is so funny to watch him play Risk.
My greatest Risk triumph. This is a Mark's tale of triumph.
I was so glad to be able to witness this. Wasn't the Nick Harden?
No, but schooling Nick Harden was great. So I often played with my friends Pat and Peter, who are both very fluent in like diplomacy and international politics and all sorts of stuff. And I don't know how that translated into good Risk playing, but somehow it did. And they made me a much better Risk player. And when we were in college, Pat invited us to come to Northwestern, but the party that we were going to go to got canceled. So somehow we wound up playing Risk against people from Northwestern. And they're both really cool. It was a dude named Rabbit and a guy named Muse. I forgot what the other guy's name was. It was Muse or something else weird.
Rabbit and Muse. Some ecstasy dealers.
But they were really cocky about their Risk playing. And it got to a point where there was five people left, and I was in the weakest state of all. And some guy was owning Europe, which is really hard because Europe has a ton of border countries.
Yeah, Europe is shitty.
I
love Europe.
So everyone was like, "Let's gang up, let's get him out of Europe." And I had was just a bunch of shit in Asia, which is really hard if you don't have anything else because you can't own a continent easily if you're just stuck in the middle of Asia. But Pat had Australia, just like Castelvi was talking about feeling trapped in, and he was trying to ooze through Asia and control it. Because, Risk tip, if you control all of Asia and Ukraine, you only have 3 border countries, which is pretty awesome for that many bonus points.
I've never thought of that. That's a good Risk tip.
Middle East, Ukraine, and
Risk tips with Mark.
Risk tips with Mark.
So I just talked Pat into being part of this invasion, and he was like, "But all your guys are right there." And I was like, "Dude, we all have the same goal here. We're on the same side. We just got to get Rabbit out of Europe." And so Pat, through all of his units, took Ukraine, unseating him from the continent bonus you get from Europe. And I was like, "Well, I guess we did that." So I just attacked Pat and took Australia from him.
Oh, you dick.
Or no, I'm sorry. There's a preface to this story. Pat totally fucked me over earlier, and I swore that I would get revenge. And so this was that revenge. And he was furious, and I was like, "I told you I'd do it earlier. I said, if you attack me now, I will do nothing except try to kill you the rest of the game." And then I succeeded, and in the process, everyone was like, "Oh, he's just trying to kill Pat." So they didn't worry about me as I grew in power and then eventually won the game. Because they thought my motivation was purely spite, which it was initially, and then it just turned into victory. So I beat Northwestern in Risk.
Yes, so Northwestern University,
Mark's Risk
for one day, you sucked Mark's Risk dick.
I mean, every day since, too. I'm feeling it.
My
But I'm serious about that. Middle East, Ukraine, Kamchatka, or Alaska, 3 border countries, you get 9 bonus territories, plus a bunch for just number of countries owned.
Pow! Marge! Risk tips!
You play games when you don't have that many friends. That's the important thing.
You need friends
to
play those games, Mark.
That's my favorite part about Dungeons & Dragons.
You don't need any friends?
You need, 6 friends.
Yeah, sometimes you kick friends out of Dungeons & Dragons, and that's...
I'm sorry, when you play Fetus the Fat, it's really... hard to keep a coherent game going.
Wait, this is why I couldn't hang out with you guys sometimes freshman year. Christmas.
Yeah. No, sorry that I destroyed the realism of Dungeons & Dragons when I was an orc warrior named Fetus the Fat, and you got offended and kicked me out of my own dorm.
What?
Luckily, I knew Brian for a week, so I was like, "Hey, we hardly know each other.
You want to go to a party and meet girls and drink?"
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you know what? Since then, I've been happy. Since then, I've been...
Well, you're welcome then, I guess.
Sure. Lauren, what's your favorite Risk move?
I think I've only played it once.
Great.
But I do have to say, Mark, do you, when you play Monopoly, do you also, haggle and trade?
Yes, so here's the thing. Most games are predicated on everyone playing in their own self-interest.
Right.
However,
do you treat that like the game of life too?
Remains to be seen. There's a lot of that left. So all of these games are built on you acting in your own self-interest. However, if you just play them out of spite, it totally fucks over the mechanics of the game. So if you're in a position of zero, like in Monopoly, for example, I was once in a position where the whole board was taken and I had no monopolies. So all you can do at that point is suffer a slow death at the hands of everyone else who slowly builds up houses and hotels. Well, your income remains like $6 every time they land on Baltic Place. or Baltic Avenue. Sorry, everybody.
Good board game specifics, Mark.
But if you turn to your sister and say, Carrie, I will sell all of my properties to Dave for a dollar if you don't make this trade with me. Then she does it, and you end up winning.
Oh, what?
I basically threatened that I would make her lose if she didn't give me a trade that would result in a monopoly.
Wow.
So her options were lose or allow me a chance at winning.
And you also offered her real money.
No. I would sell my properties to Dave. All of my properties I would sell to the other guy for a dollar because I'd basically lost at that point. So I just chose someone to play against out of spite instead of playing for myself. And it completely turns the mechanics of the game around.
It's getting deep.
Because all of a sudden, she has to make that trade.
Don't you think that Parker Brothers and all them should have put in the rules as the last rule, like number 11, is just don't play like a dick?
But like,
I feel like that would eliminate, because most people's worry is like, well, this is just how I play the
Monopoly,
game.
It's called Monopoly, not touchy-feely socialism economy.
Yeah, that sounds...
Wow!
Please push the button. Okay. I'm the person when I play. I don't like people that play Monopoly hard. Like,
Mark plays for keeps. Wow. I'm sorry.
Mark plays to win.
I also play.
I worked in a game store. There's no other way to go.
That's true. No. You got the experience.
I mean, maybe like my sisters when they were too young to get totally pwned, but like.
Well, Mark Harry said totally one. Serious.
I know. Harry has to be 3 or 4 years
Five,
younger than you.
Yeah.
5 years younger than you.
She was playing against my friends too. So it was like.
Never took it easy?
She was like at least 14. Like, she can can do the math, okay?
I don't know how to count.
Lose or give me a trade that gives me a chance to win.
Yeah.
Those are your options, or I sell all my properties to Dave for a dollar.
Wow. The only game I play like that is poker.
Are you good at poker a lot?
I've only played with like LP and Kula and Selby once.
When the hell did we play poker?
We got to eat
first.
Is that when I won, or is that when I lost really fast?
That was when you lost really fast
and we figured out your game.
Hold them usually?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right, Lauren Shaw in the chat room is talking about a Jewish version of Monopoly called Shutpa.
What?
I've heard of Jewland, but not...
You've heard of Jewland?
Yeah, they have it at this pub called Floyd's.
What is it?
It's a game. It's like a board game, like Candyland, but Jewland.
Is it like Find the Jews?
Like, collect all the goofy-looking Jews from the different areas and territories on the map?
Is there, like, a schmear monster? And if you land on his face, do you get stuck?
Yeah, it's kind of funny like that, yeah. I don't remember exactly.
Come to think of
it,
now that you're describing this, I've seen a version of that game still in its original wrapping at the Brown Elephant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
We need to buy
somebody else has purchased that game and then immediately after thought, nah.
Jewland.
You know what Castelvi was saying? It's not Shutzpa, it's Chutzpah. Chutzpah
is a Jewish monopoly?
It's a Jewish version of Monopoly without all the houses and hotels to build. Okay, I guess I'll click on this. Let's go.
You live in the shtetl and you're too poor for any real permanent construction.
And then every now and then the Nazi comes to the door.
Oh, god damn it. Let's read
the
description before.
You landed on the thumbs down, pull a Cossack card.
No, I don't want to buy chutzpah. I want to know what it
is.
No,
wait, go back. You saw it. It's right there.
It was right here?
Yeah, you were right there.
Bing. Why is that thing working?
Sorry, but it's Bing. Scroll up, Castelvin.
I'm going to scroll up.
Have you heard of Google?
There it is.
All right, well, they call the Jewish version of Monopoly without all the houses and hotels to build. Instead of community chest and chance cards, You, you have Shlemiel and Shlemazel cards.
No!
Yes. No!
Wow.
If you have a little mazel with your dice, you could end up with 5 weeks in Miami Beach. God, this is racist. This is so racist.
Artie Boy, strike back.
Read the rest. Okay. Just help me finish reading.
Add a little chutzpah. Buy some smaltzy properties. Avoid Saurus. And these are, made up words. And
at least it doesn't say, like, avoid the Nazi folk.
I'm not even done with you. Uh-oh. And you could end up with a big knacker with all the gelt. If you lose, you get the bub kiss. Unless you're a gunif, if you try and walk off with the pushka,
the Jews are loving
all have nachis.
Nachis.
Every other word is like...
A perfect gift for a booba or a zada. Any of those words make sense to you?
Bubba or a zada.
Alright, good.
It sounds like somebody watched Fiddler on the Roof once and then tried to write a Yiddish dictionary.
It's just like, if I have no idea like how to speak Yiddish, so this is all lost on. I have no idea how to play the game. Something about smotzels. There are smotzels, knackers, gelt, saurus, chutzpah, bumpkiss, pushka, and nachas. Those are all the words that describe this game.
It sounds like the greatest Jewish prank ever, man. Just the fact that they got you to read this.
Well, there's an ad for Nuns on the Run next to it, which is, I want to know all about. But, this is chutzpah. Thank you, Laura Chai.
Wait, the tagline for Nuns on the Run is Naughty Novices Dodging Discovery?
It looks like a mystery game.
Oh, I love mystery games!
Oh, we're talking about mystery!
Bring it back.
Oh,
I know. Who else
do
I want on my team? Hermione Granger.
Wait,
because she's awesome.
Detective
team?
Yeah.
I'd say that's a
fair
pick.
What's
your
team,
though? It's simple. So, assuming I can't use Denzel Washington from Deja Vu. Frank Abagnale.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm right on that one. Thank you.
You know what? I think I would take Carl Hanratty.
Fair enough.
That's an instant one-up.
I would also put Howard Hughes on that team.
What mysteries does he solve?
No, you understand that...
He's doing Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
the mystery of my own urine that I keep in jars?
What?
The mystery of the rubber gloves before I touch anything?
No, you need someone that eccentric. You got it.
You gotta have a wild card.
Would you consider James Bond?
I would. The earlier ones, yeah. Pretty good. James Bond in there. Sean Connery, James Bond. Yeah, he'd be in there. I would also... No, you need someone who's like an aloof aristocrat guy who... You ask him, like, why would you murder someone? And he'd be like, to kill their cat or something. And then that would be how to solve the myth. Like, you need someone who's just as weird as the people you're investigating. You need
bad
guys on your team.
You need a sick fuck on your team.
Exactly. Yeah. I get verbal Kent. From Usual Suspects.
You're picking people that aren't the detectives in these cases.
I know. No, I'm not telling you. I think I only got 3 or 4 right now. So I'd also put in there...
In my mind right now, Makula has a mental team of 70.
Yeah. I'd also probably put in there Russell Crowe's character from L.A. Noire. Or not, it's a movie, video game. L.A. Confidential.
All right.
Yeah.
What about that movie that you showed me?
Inspector Clouseau? No.
Inspector Gadget.
The Shining?
Oh. Yeah, it was The Shining.
It was the...
It's a mystery.
Chinatown. Jake Gitties. I put Jake Gitties in there.
You don't want Clouseau?
Clouseau would be in there, too.
Huh? What's
you the have one? Yeah, you have, there's no limit to this.
Clouseau's
why don't you just take all of Police Academy?
What's the dude from
they
Maltese Falcon?
They solve plenty of mysteries.
What movie?
Maltese Falcon? It's
Spade.
Yeah.
It's Spade Sam, something. Sam Spade.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know who I would have on my team? Chippendale.
Oh, man. They're so tiny, no one would expect them to be helping you solve your mysteries.
Yeah, true. They solve themselves some good mysteries.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I go Batman, though. Batman. Question.
Yeah, but he can only do stuff at night.
What Darkwing Duck do you...
What did he do?
He fought crime.
No, he fought crime. He wasn't solving many mysteries.
Sometimes.
I think some minor
mysteries. Darkwing Duck was kind of like Batman.
Yeah.
He was Duck, and he was for Disney.
That's about it.
No, he was a rich duck that you know, had access to a fortune, and he used his wealth and connections to fight crime.
Yeah. As a wealthy duck.
Batman.
Darkwing Duck. You know what else was a fun mystery is Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
Is it a mystery?
Yeah.
I would argue it is a mystery.
Well, most people wonder where in the world
You have to get clues from people and places to get to your next destination, and you follow like a little riddle trail.
It's not, almost as if Carmen Sandiego wants to get caught, though.
She can be pretty over sometimes.
Most people don't want to get caught.
You see, I always thought she was just going to try to fence the Statue of Liberty somewhere all secretive that no one would notice.
There are some silly names, if I recall, from Carmen Sandiego.
There is. I had to do a lot of research when I did that game show.
Somebody last name Lasagna. That's all I remember.
Well, there was the Where in the World is Carmen, the TV show.
The old school one. The old school computer game.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There was the computer game first. But
that's
the
what
TV
I was thinking
show,
originally.
There was the TV show. There was the game, the TV show, and then the spin-off, which is when they're doing shit through time. So there's a lot of fucking crazy.
Like punny names.
A lot of punny. I guess I'll look it up, whatever.
Bing that shit.
Bing. Shit just got bummed.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, dude. Yes. LP and Makula,
what is going on?
What's happening over here? You have been shaking with secret laughter over there.
Mystery time. No, Cloud said lasagna, and that made me laugh because one of my favorite things to say is, "Hey, you got some lasagna on ya."
Oh my god, that's my grandpa's famous joke.
You fucking thief!
Wow, that's my grandpa's famous joke. World renowned.
You invented?
No, but he uses it.
They
every
did
time we use it.
Makula has left the room and laughed.
Podcast over.
Makula has left the studio.
Lauren's grandpa takes the lead in the podcast.
I think I hear him coming back slowly but surely.
What's the joke, Lauren?
That's it. That's not a joke. It doesn't have a punchline.
That is the punchline.
Yeah,
you're
like,
the joke.
Like, be careful, don't get the lasagna on
ya. Would you have to be eating lasagna?
Yes,
for this?
Yeah.
It's a
lasagna.
Very
every
limited
time.
Joke.
They ate a lot of lasagna.
Yeah. My dad would love that. I'm sure he has said that, and I just tuned it out.
Oh, people love that joke of mine.
Your dad was stole.
I think I'll make lasagna tonight.
Your dad stole her grandpa's famous joke.
So Nick, what the hell does this have to do with you?
Yeah. What?
She was just thinking it.
No, that just made me start thinking about lasagna, and then LP finds this, I think, as funny as I do. So then we acted like we had some lasagna on us, and we were trying to peel it off, and we were laughing. Sorry, I had fun.
Okay. Oh, no, it's okay. It was just confused.
Lauren, what's your favorite type of lasagna?
Meg has been trying to just talk to Lauren this entire time.
What's your favorite type of lasagna?
I've been ignoring you.
Great!
Oh my god.
What are you taking a picture of?
It has something in his head.
What is going on?
I just looked right next to me, and Keith's Google search bar just has the phrase, "Did Encyclopedia Brown ever find a body?" I found that.
I found something that was like, that they're gay. Like
the Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys. Oh, you're talking about Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah.
They must have censored that because it was too insensitive.
I couldn't find him any things about him finding a body. Maybe I should write dead body.
So, cashews, like a sexy Encyclopedia Brown.
Ooh, yeah.
I couldn't tell you what Encyclopedia Brown looks like.
Sexy.
It's probably just some kid in a trench coat.
Yeah, that's
what I imagine. In a trench coat.
I just want to find out what the racist Hardy Boys titles were.
They weren't. I can't find. It won't let me find.
It wasn't titles. It was just.
It was the story was racist.
Yeah. It was,
oh, okay.
Or they had like racial stereotypes.
There weren't like slurs in the title.
I hope.
Yeah. Not. It wasn't like the case of Dirty Mick Moriarty.
But I found a website. website that's chronicling all like the why they're gay to for each other. Yeah. One of them is...
Are they brothers?
They're I don't know if... I think they're brothers, yes.
Brothers in name only.
Well, look at this. It's one of the lines is, I'll say he is, ejaculated Chet Morton.
Maybe it means exclaimed.
It's definitely... Excitedly. Excitedly exclaimed.
It does mean
dude, there's so many of these. What a queer duck he is, explained Biff. I say he is, ejaculated Chet Morton.
That's pretty funny.
Where's the one with grope in it? That was my favorite. God damn it, I can't find it right now.
Yeah, the Hardy Boys are a little bit on the gay side.
What shall we do with him, asked Joe. Frank groped in his pocket and produced the length of stout cord. Whoa. We'll tie him up first.
Well, South Park already did that yeah. episode on the Hardy Boys.
That's right, I totally
they did exactly that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that one.
There need to be more gay detectives, I feel like.
Gay Gary. Boom, Mark. What? Awesome. Yeah. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang. Yeah. Gay Gary.
Great detective.
Great yeah. detective.
And what's that saint's
the saint?
No.
Boondock
no.
Saints.
Yeah. Isn't he a gay
Willem
detective?
Willem Dafoe's character.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe's gay, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is true.
If you haven't seen Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, seriously watch it.
Nico and Nicole were just talking about it before.
We literally were just talking about it on the way over here. Yeah.
Oh, we've got about, like, detective TV shows. Yeah. So many.
Like Wings. That's not... Never mind.
I wish... That'd be a great... That'd fire would make so much awesome. Tonight. Yeah.
What's the best detective TV show?
Is House a detective
Bones.
TV show?
Bones is pretty great.
Is Bones a detective... I mean, are we counting, like, CSI type? Are they detectives? Or are they just an analyst, forensics, more or less?
Yeah. Aren't they just, like, DNA detectives?
Dude, Law and Order, SVU.
Yeah, people love SVU, man.
My parents love Monk.
Monk is a detective.
Psych. Baby, I like Psych. Boom.
Psych is a detective.
USA yes, just yeah. loves detectives.
Yeah.
Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Yes. USA.
I'm sure the burn notice is about him solving the mystery of why he got the burn.
Yeah, it totally is.
I still think it is the burn notice.
So
Steve Burn Notice.
Steve Burn Notice.
Is that from Tins' description yes. of Burn Notice?
I believe it was Jacob Burn Notice.
Jacob Burn Notice.
I only remember that.
Jacob Burn Notice.
I remember it deeply because I spent like 11 hours writing that fucking synopsis. Book. That fake synopsis.
One of my favorites.
Incredible.
Yeah, but that, yeah. Is House a detective? Do you watch House, right?
It's a medical
drama. I don't watch House, but as I understand, it's just like a medical drama, right? Like, yeah. it's like House has.
He's detective, like, he's figuring it out.
Well, he's doing his job.
That's just medical mysteries.
It's like solving. The patient says, "I'm sick," and House is like, "I wonder how you got sick." And then later he says, "Well, I found out how you got sick. Here's the answer." But it's more just doctor work, I feel, than mysteries.
Would Blue be a detective?
You know, no, I think Steve is the detective. Blue is.
You were the detective.
I think. I actually, Mark, I feel like Blue is the Carmen Sandiego in that series.
Okay.
Oh, running away.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Run away, leaving clues, getting you to the end.
Doing it all the time.
Every day.
I think Maya.
You could say that Blue wants to be caught, too.
You might say that.
She's a bad girl.
Oh, is Blue a girl?
Yes.
Yeah, Blue's a girl.
Oh. Magenta's the boy.
Bark, bark, bark.
Really?
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Blue's a girl.
Yeah, Blue's a little lady.
I got the top...
Pretty sexy lady.
I guess I got the top 50 mysteries.
Yeah, let them out.
I'll give you...
All of them.
All of them.
All the mysteries.
This is from IMDb, by the way, so...
Try to sing it.
Number 10 is the third man.
Yikes.
Oh, that's a good one.
1949. And number 9 is to kill a mockingbird.
Ooh,
and number 8 comes and it's vertigo. Number 7 is it a Sin Cane. Number 6 North by Northwest. Number 5 is Memento.
Wow, Memento made 5.
Number 4
it's also Christopher Nolan.
Is 7.
The movie.
Number 3 is The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number 2 is Psycho. Yeah. And number one mystery movie. Rear Window.
Nice. Wow, we neglected to talk about nearly all of those.
Those are more like mysterious movies.
Yes.
Where there's not necessarily like always
mysteries. Top rated mystery titles. Voted by genre mystery.
Yeah,
move, Mark.
Also, I think the ratings on IMDb are also definitely skewed towards internet users and people. So it's not exactly things that are.
I got the bottom rated ones.
Yeah,
too.
What are they?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard of any of these movies.
Oh, no.
The Barbaric Beast of Boggy Creek Part 2, 1985.
That sounds
Return
great.
To Boggy Creek is number 9. Catalina Caper, 1967, number 8. Number 7, Haunted Boat, 2005.
That sounds
Haunted
great.
Boat. I want to read that. Let's
Flesh on. Beast, 1970.
That sounds.
This one's just called Quirk. Q-E-R-Q, I think?
Oh, my goodness.
Quirk.
Quirk.
5 is The Dead Talk Back, 1993. Number 3 is Blood Deep, 2005. Number 2 is The Maze 2, Forever Yours.
But it's
maze is spelled like the corn maze.
Great.
Is number 1 Cube 2 Hypercube?
Number 1 is The Sobbing Stone, 2005. Whoa. I don't think I'm familiar with any of those films. It's probably one of the worst. I'll look up The Sobbing Stone.
Yeah.
I like the original Cube, which was sort of a mystery. And then they got shitty so fast.
I have never seen Cube nor Cube 2 Hypercube.
You probably have also not seen the prequel Cube Zero.
Really?
Yeah, they went there.
I watched all of those.
I did a Cube marathon one really sad day.
Oh my goodness, Mark.
You know what I do when I'm sad, Mark?
What?
I head out to the links and I play 18 holes of exhilarating golf. But you know what, Mark?
Yeah?
I'm a shitty golfer.
What do you do then? How do you get better?
You know how I get better at golf, Mark? I just listen to Cloud's Golf Tips.
Oh, how enlightening.
Leave a trail of cookies from where your opponent is teeing off to the wrong hole. Maybe they'll follow.
That has been Cloud's Golf Tips. And now I'm not a shitty golfer, Mark.
Cool.
You gotta buy cookies.
I guess so.
I just found out that Tim Meadows just did stand-up at Comedy Sports.
Yep.
And did not when he was supposed to come to our show.
Wow.
Yeah.
He did that on purpose.
Kevin Pomeroy just tweeted.
Wait, so he was there hanging out with Tim Meadows.
That's really funny.
That's pretty good. Good work, Meadows.
The game is afoot.
I assume he did that intentionally.
Nice move, Meadows.
And that is just about going to be our time for this podcast. If you're listening live through octavarius.com, you can catch our second murder mystery show this Sunday at Comedy Sports at 7 p.m. And that's at 929 West Belmont. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're just about out of here. But before we go, I think we've got time for Nick Makula's
Seven words of wisdom.
Four.
You think I'm Nick Makula?
He's got a bandage on his forehead, is what you can't see. See a drop of blood on the inside of that band-aid. And he's still got two left. And I know what they are
you
already.
You can't be 007 if you can't take off a band-aid. Just rip it off, man.
I am.
That has been Nick Makula's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Wow.
That's one of my favorites already.
I can't believe... What is wrong with you? Why was that so hard?
It hurt.
Okay.
You know?
No.
Alrighty, everyone, that's going to do it for us. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Octavarius. And until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Octavarius.com.
Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.
I will be singing a song with my identical twin about eating pizza with you.